right, so Hugging Face just dropped an app store for a $299 robot, and I'm already seeing people call it the next big shift in accessibility. Cody, you're skeptical, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, the premise is seductive. Anyone can build robot apps with no code background. Sounds great. But Justy, we're talking about 10,000 Ricci Minis in the wild. That's not a platform. That's a gadget with a gift shop. The App Store has 200 apps, which sounds impressive until you realize most of them are probably demos or one-off novelties built by Hugging Face's own people, or influencers they flew out. I don't see evidence that regular people are going to key.
But hold on. They say 150 of those creators had never written robotics code before. That's the whole point. And yeah, Tank Units is small in smartphone terms, but for robotics platform launching in 2025, that's actually real traction. Plus, the hardware is cheap enough that hobbyists and educators can actually buy it without budget fight.
Okay, but here's my thing. The demo they lead with is a 78-year-old retired marketing guy who built a Zoom meeting facilitator. That's a feel-good story, and I'm not dismissing it. But it's not repeatable at scale. How many people actually want a robot that greets them in meetings or mocks their chess moves? And the took me 2 hours claim from Delane himself, he's the CEO of Hugging Face. He has every incentive to make this look easy. I want to see what happens when someone knows.
That's fair. But I think you're conflating, is this going to be a $1 billion consumer platform with is this removing a real barrier to entry? Those are different questions. For education, for accessibility research, for prototyping, having $299 robot that you can program in plain English matters. Even if it's 50,000 units, not 50 million, the market doesn't have to be huge to be real.
I don't disagree with that. But then the framing is wrong. This isn't the App Store for robots has arrived. That headline makes it sound like we're in a new era. What we actually have is a nice accessibility win for a specific tiny robot, which is genuinely cool, but it's not the same thing. And here's another wrinkle. The model is open source, which is great for innovation, but it also means if someone else builds a better platform on top of Ricci Mini's hardware in a year.
That fragility is actually a feature, though. Hugging Face isn't trying to own robotics. They're trying to prove that open source, accessible tooling can work at all. If someone builds something better, great. That validates the approach. But the thing that's actually clever here is that they've made the simulation browser-based. You don't need to own Ricci Mini to build an app for it. That removes hardware cost as barrier.
Okay, that's actually a good point. The simulator is smart, but that cuts both ways. If building and testing is free in simulation, what incentivizes people to buy the physical robot? Right now, it's novelty. 6 months from now, if retention is low, you've got a lot of abandoned apps and creators moving on.
True, but that's a validation problem, not a design problem. The real test is going to be whether people who are not Hugging Face employees or press can actually build something useful and stick with it, and whether the platform attracts creators beyond hobbyists, educators, researchers, people building accessibility tools. If it's just meme robots and chess mockery, you're right, it's novelty. If it's actual tools, it's different.
Yeah, and that's where I'd want to dig in. The apps they highlight, the VP of Future Thinking for CEO meetings, the language tutor, the anti-procrastination phone detector, those are all pretty niche. They're not solving a mass market problem. So the question is whether Hugging Face is okay with that, or whether they're betting on something bigger.
I think they're honestly okay with niche for now. The statement from Delang about agents learning from open source robot code suggests they're thinking bigger. Like, if we make it easy to build for Ricci Mini, AI agents learn how to think about physical tasks, and that knowledge transfers to other robots later. It's long game, not quick monetization play.
That's a smarter read than the headline suggests. And if that's the actual bet, then the free forever model makes sense. You're not trying to monetize the App Store right now. You're trying to build the data and the precedent. But that also means success. Looks like did agents get better at robotics? Not how many Ricci Minis did we sell? Those are very different metrics.
Exactly. So here's where I land. The rap store for robots framing is oversell, but the actual thing, which is we made it possible for non-roboticists to ship working robot code in hours instead of weeks, is real and worth paying attention to. Whether Riki Mini survives or gets obsolete doesn't actually matter if the pattern sticks.
I can live with that. My concern is still adoption and retention. The headline hype is doing them no favors because it sets expectations way too high. Anyone picking up a Riki Mini thinking they're buying a consumer robot is going to be disappointed. But if the pitch is, this is a platform for learning and experimentation, the actual product makes sense.
So how do we actually test whether this is sticking or fizzling? Because I don't want to just wait 6 months and see if people are still building.
Few things. 1. Go try the simulator yourself. Pick an existing app. Fork it. Ask ML intern to modify it in plain English, and time how long it actually takes. Report back on friction points. 2. Look at the GitHub repo for the Riki Mini platform itself. Track new apps, forks, and star activity over the next month. If it flatlines after week 2, that's your signal. 3. Find a creator who built one of those 200 apps, and ask them whether they're still iterating or if it was.
And the hardest test, actually interview few Riki Mini owners who aren't tech people, ask what they build, whether they use it regularly, and whether they'd recommend it to someone like them. That's where the real story lies.
Yeah, because if the only people sustaining this ecosystem are hobbyists and AI researchers, then it's not actually a mainstream accessibility play. It's a neat research platform that looks like a consumer product.
Fair. All right, I think we're landing in the same place. This is real and interesting, but the hype is way ahead of the actual validation, and that's the story worth tracking.